GameCube.
That dude.
Damn, GameCube. Again, I'm straight up out the Clem town. Detroit City.
The MC Nerd Jock. Show. Welcome back to the MC Nerd Jock Show with your host, GameCube That Dude.
But man, you don't understand how good it feels to be back with y'all again for a whole nother season. Back. Man, so much to talk about too, man. We had the Olympics. We had LeBron, Steph Curry, KD. End of a dynasty. End of an era, really. It's not end of a dynasty, but end of an era of this generation's legends. We had breakdancing in the Olympics. We had Noah Lyle. I mean, where do I even start, yo? Yeah, some crazy, some real good hip-hop music coming out last few months. I think last episode we kind of started getting into the whole Drake-Kendrick beef. And, man, boy, did that take off. I mean, so much. But being that this is the back to school episode, I just had a little quick mix that I threw on here, a little song, you know what I'm saying, that I was playing for my kids as we was walking to the bus stop. My wife told me, she's like, man, turn that down, you over here blasting this music at 8 a.m. I was like, oh, you're probably right, but I was hyped. Back to school, baby.
No.
know what to do.
Man, so much to get into. Yes. First off, I just want to say thank you again for allowing me to be through your speakers, through your headphones, for this connection to happen. I don't take it lightly at all. You know, I mean, I appreciate and understand what the power of this microphone is. So I appreciate y'all taking the time to rock with a homie and get back into the swing of things. You feel me? I think last time I was supposed to record, I went to the NFL draft, brought my two oldest boys, and we went downtown Detroit. And, man, we had a blast, man. I'm not gonna lie, man. Like, they had a lot set up. Like, they, it was downtown Detroit, so they shut down, like, from the Detroit River, so from the Hart Plaza, Jefferson was all shut down right there, all the way up to the end of, the end of Campus Marsh on Monroe Street right there, where they do the rollerblading and roller skating in the summer. So they had all of that shut down. Shut a whole new record attendance for the NFL draft. We was definitely a part of that. Man, it was cool. Yeah, I mean, they had all the Lombardi trophies. They had the Lombardi trophies that all like a bunch of different rings. They had a bunch of NFL legends there. I really didn't get to see most of them. I did get my boys and I got a picture with J-Mo. Shout out J-Mo. What up, though? We did get that. But there really wasn't, when we went there, I think we went there, it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So we went there that last day, Saturday. Which anybody that watched the NFL draft, like, that's, you know, no one really even watches it on TV. But it was still packed. It was crazy. So we was down there Saturday, hung out. The only thing I'll say, like, you know what I mean, it's not like I'm against alcohol or anything. You know what I mean? Anyone knows me, I throw a couple beers back. It's all good. But the amount of stands that they had for alcohol definitely outweighed the amount of stands they had for food. It was like one place that you could really go and get food. They had I don't know what you would even say, like a half food court. There was like a row of food stands that had, it did have some, it had local restaurants, which I thought was super dope. I did get some of that, gumbo. I think it was from Louisiana Creole, which is, pardon me if I'm mistaken, they used to have a spot over there off Gratiot by the Eastern Market, but they just changed locations, I think, further down Gratiot, and then they still got a spot over on the west side as well. But I definitely got some of that. My kids got some chicken tenders and stuff. I mean, you're going to drop close to 100 just for three people eating, because it's ridiculous. Like I said, we didn't get, you know, I mean, I just brought my boys, so I wasn't drinking like that or at all. So we did that. And I think they might have had like a Little Caesars food truck half stand, but the line was crazy. Line was like way down Jefferson. I'm like, nah, I ain't doing all that. And it rained that morning, so they shut down the 40-yard dash, so I didn't get to. I was trying to show my numbers, you know what I mean? Trying to see if I still had it. So I didn't get to do that, but I did get to do the jump, the vertical jump. So if you follow me online, there is a video of me doing that. And I was just happy that I did better than two or three people that was in front of me. But one of the dudes, it was funny too, because my man's was all set up. Like, he was kind of like warming up. I seen him stretching a little bit before he got up there. And then when he got up there, he took his jacket off. And then he, but he debated too. He was going to leave the jacket on. And then his people was like, nah, man, you got to take the jacket off. He took his shoes off. He had like these fresh Nike Air Max, I think, or something like that. He took them off. And then his grandma was like, you got this. You play football too. You play football. Like hyping him up. So I'm thinking, okay, man. You know what I mean? This dude might be doing this for real in the combine in the next year or two or something. Or maybe he already was in the combine and just, you know what I mean, just didn't finish off in the practice squad or something. I'm thinking dude got serious hops. He did his thing. And then I got up there and I got a little bit higher, but I hit that thing with force. I think when I posted it, my brother commented, he was like, man, you look like you was trying to dunk the basketball. Yeah, I was just trying to make sure I got them sticks, you know what I mean? Pause, you know what I mean? I got them exactly where I was trying to get it to, you feel me? So definitely did that. That was fun. And they had a miniature one. So my boys got to do it too. They got to throw the football. They had like a passing drill. They had face painting. So they got their face painted. And they also had where you could try on the like real NFL gear. So I mean, they had a lot of stuff, man. There was plenty of stuff to do. And then we ended up walking and actually watching a couple of the picks. We did get to see one of the Lions' last picks of the draft, so that was dope. And as we were walking, like heading more towards Campus Marsh for the actual draft stage, there was a dude in the Tigers jersey, and he was just kind of talking to us. And he mentioned, like, yeah, there's a game today, man. You should bring your boys out and go to the Tigers game. And I'm thinking, like, yeah, maybe. And I looked at the time, and the game was about to start in like an hour. I was like, yeah, y'all trying to go to the Tigers game? And they were like, yeah, yeah, let's go. So I was like, you know, I mean, checked in with the wife. I was like, hey, everything good at the crib? Can we go to this Tigers game too? Because tickets was like a little bit less, like $18 a person. And we were in the lower level. So it wasn't like we was nosebleeds. So I was like, yeah, man, why not? You know, we make a whole day of it and do Detroit sports, you feel me? April and the D, we had to, you know what I mean? So, definitely did that. We went to the Tigers game. Now, spent another fortune at the Tigers game, though, when it came to food. I'm like, yo, man, we should have stopped in somewhere and had a little Coney or something, man. and got something before we went down there, but you know what I mean? It was so much going on. We really didn't have time to try to walk around all around downtown to try to find some food. Because they really had it shut down. They had the whole block shut down from Grand Circus area. That little loop right there by Tiger Stadium and by Buddy's Pizza, all of that right there. They had it shut down from there, Woodward, all the way down to Jefferson. So you was hoofing it, you know what I mean, from there. So we actually took the people mover down from Jefferson, down back over to the Tigers and got off at Grand Circus, which was cool because I never really did the people mover. So if you downtown, it's cool. You know what I mean, it was crowded, crazy crowded, because like I said, it was draft day, so everybody was down there. It was crazy crowded, but it was definitely, I mean, it was free. I don't know if it's always free, but it was free. So we rolled and we did our thing, you know what I mean? I will say though, like maybe a month after that, I took one of my sons at school had earned three free tickets to Jimmy John's Field out in Utica, Michigan for like minor league baseball. I really don't know what level, so baseball is definitely not my major sport, so pardon me for not knowing, you know, double A, triple A. I know it's probably below triple A baseball. So we went there And I will say, like, my oldest is 8, my middle is 6. So at that age group, I would much, 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 much rather take them to Jimmy John's Field. Jimmy John's Field is 100% geared towards kids. All right, so if you got kids, listen up. If you got kids, Jimmy John's Field is the place to be in the summer. I know the Tiger Stadium is cool. Comerica Park is amazing. Watching professional baseball at the highest level, Major League Baseball, is great. But man, I saved so much more, much more money going to Jimmy John's Field, and they had much more fun. Like, they have a playground there. They have like a little small baseball, like t-ball field, that like kids can play wiffle ball or t-ball, whatever that is over there. I think it's wiffle ball. And this is all during the game. So we went actually to the All-Star game because they let us use the free tickets for that. And I was like, oh, this is dope. They got a home run derby, the All-Star game, and it's fireworks at the end. So I'm like, that's it. We're doing that one. So we went there, watched the home run derby. They started to get a little antsy towards the end of the home run derby. So I'm like, all right, cool. Y'all trying to go to the playground? Went to the playground. We played over there. Then we got food, which was far less than $100. I think we spent maybe $30, $40. And I brought my other son, too. So that's four of us, you know, eating for way less than what three of us ate at Comerica. So I'm like, yeah, I'm back here all the time. So yeah, man. And then, you know, All-Star game, they started to get antsy. We went down to the playground again. Then went back to our seats. Like, I took them to the playground like four times during that whole time that we were there. And then we ended up watching the fireworks. Everybody had a good time. We went back home. Like, it was. I enjoyed both experiences because it was cool, like, going to the draft and then really making a day of being downtown, which my kids have never really been able to do. So that was cool for them. But personally, my pockets felt so much better at this Jimmy John's Field, and I felt better. Like, you know, I didn't feel like I had to tell them, like, hey, you know, calm down. Like, anytime they kind of got antsy, I was like, yo, let's just go to the playground. You know what I mean? So that's top tier, right, for me. Jimmy John's, y'all doing y'all thing, for real, for real. Man, so I guess that kind of catches us back up from where we were, because now we're here in August, and things is about to pop back up again. You know what I mean? I'm about to coach soccer again for my kids. Little League soccer, you feel me? So that's gonna be dope. I kind of got into it last minute because they didn't have enough coaches. I was really trying to be a spectator this year, just watch. Because I feel like last year, I had both of my two oldest on the same team. It just kind of worked out that way with their ages. And my wife and I both coached, and I felt like they listened to their coaches better the year before. Like, you know how it is when your parents coach you, especially when you're young like that. Like, you know, they already telling you what to do at home. You want to get out at soccer and not have to feel like your parents still telling you what to do. So I feel like they were, you know, a little bit more bucking the system than they probably would have been if it was someone else coaching. But it also might have been that they were both on the same team and they had their best friends on the same team. So it was just, it was a lot of too much familiarity, you know what I mean? But I still felt like they got better throughout the year. So, you know, that's a plus. But this year, they were telling us, hey, we really need coaches. And we were kind of like, oh, you know, yeah, I hear you. I'm sorry. We just watching this year. And then they finally was like, they kept saying like, hey, we might have to cancel this team, we don't have enough coaches. And then like, I think the season's supposed to start next week. We were on vacation up in Caseville, and we got another text like, hey, I'm sorry, it's looking like we're going to have to cancel things. And I was like, oh, man. Well, I guess I'm coaching again. Because I'm like, yeah, this is going to be really messed up. We got my young son and like the bitty ball league. Got my oldest playing. He finally gets to have a goalie for his league. So it's getting a little bit more serious and like a little bit more like regular soccer, football. So I was like, yeah, I can't have my middle son being the only one that's not playing, because I think he might like it the most, honestly. He's definitely the most into sports than my other sons. Like, he was really tuned in with me for the Olympics. He was tuned in with me for the Euro Championships, for the Copa America. Like, his favorite player is Messi, and he kept asking me about Argentina. I was like, did Messi play? And I'm like, nah, he's injured, he ain't been playing. And then he finally got to see him play, and then he was like, is Messi playing for the Olympics? And I'm like, nah, they don't really do that. It's the same, you know, same season. Plus, he's got to come back and play for Miami, so he's probably not going to play. And he was like, oh, okay. But he still was rooting for Argentina. Anytime he saw Argentina come up for any sport, it was Argentina and handball. And I think they were playing an African team, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going for the African team. He's like, well, I'm going for Argentina. That's where Messi from. So he's definitely the most into it. So I was like, yeah, I got a coach. GameCube Deck Coach is back. You know what I mean? So yeah, man. That's what we up to. That's what we've been at, you know what I mean? You already know, I was watching all the sports. Even though I wasn't locked in with you guys right here, if you was watching the Olympics, I was right there watching it with you. Man, where do I even start? Like, I was really proud of the USA men's team. Like, they really showed out, you know what I mean? I really thought that they had a good showing in the Olympics, because obviously it's a younger team than what was in the Copa, and I felt like the Copa, we really, especially because we were hosting, like, we really, as the host nation, I thought we kind of let things down, but I felt good about where they went in the Olympics. Because they just play some really good teams, and I really didn't expect a whole lot from them. But they really did their thing. And don't even get me started on the ladies, man. Rodman was out there getting it. The ladies, I mean, when are we going to give the ladies credit? Because the ladies in USA soccer and USA basketball, the ladies are like some of the best teams in the country, or I'm sorry, in the world, and we don't give them the same type of shine that we give the men, and it's outrageous to me, because they're better, and they're in their league or in their tier, they're way better than the men are at that same level for the males, but yet, you know, we only focus on the males. But nah, at our house, I was in the grocery store. We was getting ready to go on vacation, so I had to go to the grocery store. I really didn't want to. I was trying to watch the final, and I had it hooked up on the cart. And while I was shopping, my middle son was giving me updates, and we was locked in, tuned in. Of course, big shout out, like I already said, to the women's basketball team. They won gold, like, pretty much in my whole lifetime. Like, I was born in 1990. I don't think I've ever seen the women not get gold in basketball. I'm 34. That's like unheard of in any sport. Like almost 30 years, they've went into this tournament of the Olympics basketball and walked out with the gold. And we just act like it's nothing. You know what I mean? Like this is next level type stuff, and we're not really giving them the praise that they need to. So I just want to give them a big shout out right now. Give them their flowers while they can smell them. You feel me? That's what you're supposed to do. Now, with all that being said, I want to end on a good note. So I'm not going to bring up I'm going to bring up something bad here, because I'm highly disappointed in the U.S. men's 4x1 team. I don't know what to say, man. I don't like doing this, but we might have to throw one of these out here. Any one of those. Where are these two? Something. Because what in the world are we doing out here, man? Do we not understand how to relay? How are you supposed to hand off the baton, man? Do they practice? Was you even in the gym? Do you even lift, bruh? Like, what is going on with this team, man? It really doesn't make any sense to me. I ran four years of high school track, 2 years of middle school track. Not once did I ever fumble the handoff. I mean, it might have been because I played football too when I was a running back, so I'm used to the handoffs. But never. I don't think we ever did. You practice it. You know how many times we practice the handoffs? And it's like once you get it going, you're good for a while. It just becomes natural. Like, you know, you can really read when to start, when to go, when that person next to you is coming. You know, pause. You know when they, like, all right, if I know my man's, whenever he runs the 100, he gets out of the blocks, goes, and then, you know, has a little bit of trouble maintaining that speed towards the end of that 100, I'm not going to take off until he's really close or somewhat close. And then I'm going to do it in stride where I'm kind of almost coming slower out of the gates so that I can grab this baton in stride. And honestly, I'm almost, now that I'm like talking it out with y'all, I might be more disappointed in the coach. Because they probably didn't have the right lineup. My mans who went second probably should have went third, or just popped it off to begin with, because that might have been the issue. Is you got somebody that jumps out of the blocks, you shouldn't have them following somebody that can't hold their speed for the 100 meters. You got to switch that up somewhere. They got to be third. And have somebody that can, you know, hold their speed until the end, or maybe it's a little bit slower out of the blocks, but they got that acceleration to get up to full speed quickly and maintain it. That, and then have them run anchor or something, because this was just all discombobulated, and my man's took off too early and then stopped. You never stop. Because the person who's running is just going to run right into you. And then they got disqualified anyways because they was out of the lane. It was disgusting to watch, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I really don't have a better way of putting it other than I was just disgusted watching it. But what really made up for it, though, was Sha'Carri Richardson finally getting the medal in her first Olympic debut. I know she didn't really, you know, place where she wanted to in the open, but in that 4x1, she let them know why she is what she is. You feel me? And it was a beautiful sight to see. It really was. Like, just seeing her, like, kind of look to the side, like, oh, okay, we got this. and then like flex, like kind of flex jump across the finish line. Like that was crazy. You know what I mean? Like that was ill. That was really cool to see. And then my man Noah Lyle winning the 100, and then and then catching COVID, and then still getting bronze in the 200. I was a little tight that he wasn't able to, get gold and double that out like Usain Bolt, because not too many people have ever really done that or been able to do that like that. So, you know, that would have been cool to see. But still, I mean, placing bronze while you got COVID is, you know, I mean, I don't even know what to say. I don't know too many people like that that can, you know, still run 19 sub 200 meters while they have COVID, while they have a respiratory illness. Like that's, yeah, I'll let that speak for itself. So, and then, of course, we had USA men's basketball, and that's what I was talking about. That is it the end of an era? It felt like it. It really did, because I'd be very surprised if we see the combination of LeBron, Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry in another Olympics together. I think that might have been LeBron's last Olympics. You know what I'm saying? So that image that went on, with the three of them kind of right at the front court, just crossed the half court line after Steph hit that three, and it's just the three of them kind of celebrating, and it was cool. Because I've always said, like, I truly think that Steph Curry is LeBron's favorite player in the league. Like, I think that he would play with him in a heartbeat, you know, if it wasn't for like the politics of him moving around to different teams and ever to win championships. I think that they would play great together. They always do. Anytime that they're in the same conference and LeBron's had an opportunity to pick Steph for the All-Star game, he does it with the quickness over his own teammates. He will quickly pick Steph. So, you know, I do think that was cool to see the three of them play together. But like I said, I'd be highly surprised if we get to see the three of them together on the court like that ever again. So, man, I think we caught back up. Wait. There was something that really crossed the bridges of what I do here on this podcast. And so I'd be remiss if I did not take a few seconds to big up Break Dancing. Yeah. I forgot to do that to start off the podcast like I normally do. See, I'm out of touch a little bit. We got to get back in rhythm, back into this, baby. So, yeah, man, we had Break Dancing make its official Olympic debut. And I've heard rumors that they are not bringing it back for 2028 in L.A., and that really saddens me. I'm actually about to check that out, if that's true, right now as we speak. Is breakdancing going to be in the 2028 Olympics? According to the Dallas Express, and according to Desert News, I don't feel comfortable. Oh, here we go. People Magazine. People. Dang. And what the worst part about it is every single picture that I'm looking at that shows, like, talks about breakdancing not being in the 2028 Olympics, they keep showing pictures of Ray Gun. And we'll get to Ray Gun. Let's start with Dallas Express. Why are they saying that? The 2024 Paris Games was the first time breakdancing emerged as an Olympic event, despite being included in the Youth Olympic Games in 2018, reported People magazine. The decision to exclude breakdancing from the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles was made a few years ago. In 2022, the International Olympic Committee announced the 28 sports approved for the 2028 Games, and breakdancing was omitted from the list. Here is more of what people had to say about the sport of breakdancing. Nah, we ain't gonna do all that. What I will say, though, is that I would not be surprised if it is back in the 2032 Olympics. I think that it, financially, viewership-wise, it was far beyond what I think they ever thought that it was gonna be. Which is partially why I think they didn't include it in the 2028 Olympics. They probably thought, okay, well, people have been pushing for this breakdancing thing. We'll throw it in Paris. You know, it'll do its little thing behind handball. And, I mean, they really didn't even show it. It was the last 2 days of the Olympics. And the semifinal and the final, everything was all on the same day. So that just shows me that they really didn't think that it was going to do the numbers that it did. But they don't know the power of hip-hop. Hip-hop, 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 hip-hop. Hip-hop, you the love of my life, and that's right. You know what I'm saying? They don't know nothing about that. It's bigger than hip-hop, hip-hop. You feel me? So it was really cool to see one of the original elements be a part of the Olympic Games, and boy, did they show out. I missed a lot. I saw the highlights of the men's, the B-boy, but I did see the B-girls, pretty much all of it live, the semifinals, quarterfinals, and the main finals. And by far, to me, I do think that I thought who won was dope. Old girl from Japan, she was ill. I was actually, I think I was one of the only ones that didn't, that wasn't really feeling Ali G, the girl that had a do-rag on from Lithuania. I forget what her name was, pardon me. I don't know. She was cool. Like, technically, she was dope, but I didn't, like, she wasn't dancing on beat. A lot of it felt like she had really practiced a routine and was, like, she had her signature moves that everybody knew that she was going to do. And so it didn't feel as freestyle oriented and rhythm based as I prefer. Like, if I was judging. And so for me, like, logistics from the U.S., like, she really rocked it out. I do think old girl from France killed it, too. The young girl, I think her name was Sissy. She was dope. Both of those B-girls were ill, I thought. They were by far, I think, my two favorite. Watching, just doing the flips, doing the spins on their head. Just all of it really felt true to what breakdancing was. I'm not even really going to spend time on Ray Gunn, but she got a doctorate in dancing. And so she's one of the few people in Australia that was breakdancing, and she made it through, and good for her. But some things you just can't go to school for. You actually got to get out in the streets and be a part of it. I was busy this summer, and I wanted to go to Red Bull. Actually had a breakdancing competition here in Detroit. Shout out to Dez. He was one of the DJs for it. And I really wanted to go. I thought it would be dope. I thought it would be cool to see live as a heart pleasure. I just wasn't able to get down there. So, yeah, man, breakdancing was in the Olympics. 2028, we will get to see football make its debut. Flag football will be in the 2028 LA Games, Olympic Games. There's already been controversy because there's obviously people that are part of the flag, like U.S. national flag football team, and a lot of people, spectators and stuff, and sports enthusiasts are calling for NFL players to be a part of the flag football in L.A. 2028. And of course, the people that's been doing this is like, hey, you wasn't there shooting with me when I was in the gym. You feel me? So they're like, nah, man, we ain't having that. Y'all got to really be a part of this to make this, to be a part of it. You know, I get that. At the same time, though, I can understand the view of like, hey, if football is going to make its debut, especially here in America, then we need to have NFL players in it so that we can dog out every other country in the world. I can understand that. I truly can. But if that's the case, then the NFL players, if they really want to do it, then they need to do what they're supposed to do to actually be eligible for the games. Because that was my issue with a lot of the backlash that the 3-on-3 teams got, the USA teams, because people was like, yo, man, we got Jimmy Fredette, but we really ain't got nobody else. And it kind of showed, but it's like none of the NBA players, none of the big three players, nobody went through the different tournaments and stuff that you had to go through with FIBA throughout the year and the years leading up to the Olympics in order to be eligible for the games. So I think instead of us like talking about it, you know, we really got to be about it. And it starts now. It's only 2024. I'm sure you can do what you need to do to be eligible for the Olympic Games in 2028 in LA. So, yeah, I mean, that's all I got to say about that. You feel me? Yo, so, man, I was able to go to the big homie Valid313.com. Make sure y'all go support his new album, Peach Brandy. He's got John Connor on there, Stretch Money on there, a bunch of Serbian artists who all spit in this like Serbian freestyle. Serbia versus everybody, I call it. It's like the Detroit versus everybody freestyle. Man, it's a dope album. The more and more I start to listen to Valid, like he's really in his bag, kind of lets you. He goes a little bit personal about being a Serbian immigrant and being here in America and you know, that relationship that he has with the city of Detroit and also back home in Serbia. So big shout out Valid. Him and DJ Head just headlined a hip hop festival in Serbia. So, you know, big shout out to the homie. Keep doing your thing. You already know I'm here supporting. So he had a block party for his album. And let's see. This is what it sounded like. Of course, that was Valid featuring Boog Brown out of Detroit. Man, she's one of the illest lyricists. I just got put on. Like, I think I heard Detroitopolis by V Styles, produced by Pete Rock. Got Guilty Simpson. I ain't even gonna start because there's. I'm sorry. Guilty Simpson, Fat Cat, Boog Brown, V Styles. I'm missing like one or two other people, and I apologize. But it's dope. It's a ill track. like an ode to Detroit for Detroit's birthday. So that was like one of the first times I think I seen her name floating around and like seen people shout her out and stuff, but I never really gave her music a listen. And shame on me, because she's dope, and she's featured on this Peach Brandy album by Valid on the song Plush. And that's what y'all heard. That was her live at the block party spitting, doing it ill. It was. She shut it down with her verse. And it's just a crazy verse. Like, she comes in smooth, and she, you know, I mean, she's right in pocket, and the lyrics is dope to back it up. So it's my kind of music, you feel me? They also had Asaka the Renegade was in the building. Let me see here. I think I got something for him too. That I recorded here. Hold on. Shut it down too. Like, for that song, he jumped off the stage and went over there by the outside bar. So it was a block. I ain't give y'all the real, like I was supposed to. My bad. So it was a block party, right, at Woodbridge Pub over there in Woodbridge, part of Detroit, like right around the corner from the basketball stadium for Wayne State University, right, for the field house. So Woodbridge Pub right there, right on the corner off Trumbull, right next to it is an empty lot. They had the stage set up outside for the lot. They had a bar kind of on the side. Then they had the fence around. And they had security is checking ID. You rolled in. Everything was free. Everything was paid for by the sponsors. So shout out to all the sponsors that were involved, because it really was as a fun event, right? So Asaka was doing his thing, jumps off stage for the song. You can tell there's a lot of energy in the crowd, a lot of energy in the way he was performing. Definitely a good performer. Pretty much everybody, honestly, everyone that performed there really was good, great performers, you know what I mean? Because I done been to some shows and I done seen some bigger names perform, and they wasn't bringing that type of energy, you feel me? So definitely energy was in the building, a lot of legends in the building. I think I saw Real Spit there. I saw my boy Cloudy Three Wise out there. I saw Big Herc was in the building. Of course, Stretch Money was in the building. Awesome Dre was in the building. I mean, a lot of Detroit hip hop legends was in the building. You feel me? Or outside, because really it wasn't a building. So they was all outside for this. You feel me? So Saka jumps on stage. runs over there by the bar, and he's performing that song over there. We outside. Like, you know what I mean? He's really getting into it, and it was, we really felt that energy, so that's why I'm glad I captured that, so I could bring it to y'all here properly, you feel me? So, yeah, that was dope. And then, I you know, it's, I'm a hip-hop head, so I got to give y'all a little taste of the legend, Big Guilty Simpson. Was on a whole nother level, man. Big shout out to Guilty Simpson, for real. Like, and he just, I just heard, I think I'm part of this hip-hop Discord, and we do like some real nerdy stuff, right? But we are here on the MC Nerd Jack Show, so it's okay to be nerdy here. So we do almost like a book club, but we go back and we listen to albums that maybe one or two people suggest and a lot of us haven't heard. So we just did The Gas Mask by The Left, which was Apollo Brown. Shoot, don't have me saying the wrong people here. Hold on. Come on, work with me, title. Work with me. There we go. So The Gas Mask dropped in 2012. It's The Left and Apollo Brown. The Left is DJ Soko and Journalist 103. And they had some different features. But Guilty Simpson's on this song called Reporting Live. And at the end of it, he preferences that he's always repping Dilla. And that was in 2012. And then here he is performing live at this Valley Black Party in 2024. And, you know, repping Dilla to the fullest. So, you know, that was really dope to see Guilty. And that was the second time I seen Guilty. Last time I saw him was at the Dime downtown Detroit off Griswold. For Dilla Weekend, Dilla Detroit celebration in February. So, and that was like That had to be like 2017 maybe 2018. So yeah, man, that was dope. Real dope. And then of course the homie Valet ended the set. I got video of Stretch Money inside. He did the after party set inside. But I really don't have any audio, but Stretch really did his thing. Like I was taking a lot of video and stuff during the block party. So when it came down to the to the after party, I had zero space. So I let me see here if I can find it. So he's performing, and he actually like came right up to the camera or my phone and was like rapping to my phone, so it was dope. But then my phone gave out. It was like, nah, stop recording. So this is what it sounded like when Valet was introducing Stretch.
We just about to kick around. I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing. That's what I'm doing.
Course, so that was the energy that was inside of Woodbridge Pub at the end of the block party. I wanted to save Valet for last because, of course, this was his show. He put everything together. So big shout out to Valet once again. I wanted to give him his shine properly at the end of this segment. You feel me? So this is Valet performing. This is how he kind of popped it off.
Time, dog. I was running out of patience. The scene overseas, Val got it locked. Till the virus came and had the whole planet on lock. I was hitting the bottle. Nothing else mattered. Caught lightning in a bottle. But I'm watching it shatter. Told myself, let it go. It could be worse. Some lost jobs. Some were overworked. Many had to bury loved ones in the dirt. And the one that I loved, look, I left it hurt. What brought us close, tore my family apart. Now my heart bears the guilt and the nastiest scars. Like an alcoholic, though, it's back to the bars. You can only play your hand, ain't no tracking the cards. You never can tell which way it could go. It's all good, though, real ones would know, yeah. I read the theories of Tesla as I pour a shot from this liter of Brest for translation. Brandy of the peach flavor, she a baddie, calling me the peach slayer. Let the Cosmo determine my destiny. What I can't control, I'm just learning to let it be. Boss shit, linked up with Stretch Money, made a Junior Mafia. We had to get money, Shade 4-5, dawg. Had to kill him, L Club was historic, yo. We packing out the building, street dancing, backpackers got their hands up to the ceiling. Imagine what we seeing, it was magic in that building. It's established that the chance stretching valid for the season. Peep the universe and see the plan that it was bringing. It's a you, the Serbian brother, man. Track record clean, never turn on another man. Always kept my word, nothing worse than a sucker. And I pray that one day I get to touch to the motherland.
So yeah, man. That was Valet, the Peach Slayer. He opened it up crazy, did his whole thing for the set. You know what? Hold on. I got a little bit more. Hold on. Just hold on.
But they think that I sell dope. Why? Cause it look like I sell dope. I ain't even mad at stereotypical. Cause I really didn't sell dope. Now with the bars and the rhymes, I can sell hope. Maybe give a nigga something he can live for.
freeze up on me. Don't freeze up on me now. Don't you dare do it. Nah, we was jamming.
Thinking back on the shit that I did, bro. Ran off on the plug with my kid, bro. That ain't nothing that I'm proud to say, but I'm around the way. We broke down the way. Took it OT and we towed down the state. It was green till we start fucking around with me. I'm talking gloves on, t-shirts, round the face. We used to cut that dog with the morphine base. Wait. That's a whole nother ball game. I ain't never been a nigga you could call lame. I for sure was the one you could call to come get a 3-5 or come and get a ball. Even today I still middle man the balls. If I hit up my baby, he gon' come and get him all shit. Where you else so can talk that talk and walk that walk on both sides, all that sauce. You bet that game.
Yeah. So they really shut it down, to be honest with y'all. Everybody did their thing. Everybody killed it. Everybody that performed. It was great. It was really a vibe. It was cool because I ain't really been out. Like before that, I hadn't really been outside that much. So, you know what I mean? This was a great show. I would definitely go to another block party. The Valet holds, and it sounds like he wants to do something like that again. So, you already know I'm in for that. For real. And I'm actually play y'all, like towards the end, I'm gonna play y'all a little bit of my favorite song off of the Peach Brandy album, which at the moment is still available on streaming services. But I know how Valet and Stretch, for that matter, like to move. So I wouldn't be surprised if at some point it's taken off streaming services and you can only get it on Bandcamp. That way they're getting the proper money that they deserve, because you know these streaming services don't always pay out to the artist the way they're supposed to. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Man.
The natural death.
Everything that.
What up? And we back. 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 Yeah. So check it, man. I think last time we talked, we started to talk about a few episodes of X-Men 97 during the break that definitely all concluded. You know, so my final thoughts on it, like it really, I thought it was really well done. There was a lot of elements into the show that I... you know, like we previously have stated, you know, I really felt like it was made for people that grew up on the old animated series. So this was, you know, it was like a special treat for us. You know what I mean? We got a little something, something to bring us back to our childhood. I'm just bringing up the episode list because it's been a minute now since I've watched it. Hold on. I didn't even hit y'all with the... Y'all gotta let me slip up, man. Just checking out the episode list so we can kind of get an idea of what was kind of went on at the end of it, man. They murked everybody pretty much. We saw Wolverine go get murked up by Magneto, and then Cable, we found out who his parents were. So if you don't know, spoiler alert once again. So Cyclops and then the Jean Grey clone are the parents of Cable. So it was kind of cool to see him come back and then kind of save them. Man, it's really been a minute since I watched this. I really should have kind of just watched like the final episode so I could remember. But it's alright, we'll do it live. Oh yeah, that's right. They have this this like sentinel, psychic sentinel, based on who I looked up. He is like a form of back in the day they had Nimrod, so he's like a version of Nimrod, but like an elite level. Nimrod was like this ultimate sentinel that you know, he could like do all the mutant powers. Like he had everybody's powers, so he was out doing his own thing and just murking up everybody. This is why I brought the show up. So I really thought it was cool how they, like, because they had these sentinels that were taking over the whole world, they really, which they've done in the past on the X-Men animated series back in the day. Like, we got a glimpse of like a shadow of Spider-Man, and we were supposed to assume it was Spider-Man, and different characters like that. Well, on this one, when they finally showed it, like showed a bunch of different characters from around Marvel. So we got to see Black Panther, like when the Sentinels showed up in Wakanda, we got a scene of a Black Panther fighting off some Sentinels. We got a scene of Iron Man and Captain America trying to save the president and make sure he was straight. We got a scene of Cloak and Dagger out on the streets fighting off people. So like this, all of that was seen with Daredevil. So like that, all of that was dope to me, that we got to see you know, all these different Marvel characters fighting together. Psylocke, yeah, I mean, they really pulled out the stops for this episode. They brought Magnus back, and he, of course, he saved the day. He could have ended everything. So I'm really, you know, this is going to be interesting to see what happens whenever they, whenever they come back, because some people got taken to different dimensions, different universes. So I think it'll fall into play with this multiverse war that we're gonna see in the MCU and in the animated stuff, it looks like, too. So you know, it's dope. Like Jean and Cyclops went to a different dimension. and then Professor X, Magneto, and Beast. I'm trying to think who else is there with them. They all end up meeting Apocalypse. So this is going to be on point whenever they bring this back, because you got all the people that's still in Genosha. There's a lot of cliffhangers they left us with. Of course, RIP to Big Gambit, but we'll get to that in a little bit. So yeah, this is Jean and Cyclops they travel to the future. So that's what happens. like a lot of, half of them get go to the past and they're in ancient Egypt with Apocalypse, and some go to the way future and they're with Cable. So, you know, I mean, this is gonna be fly to see what happens in this next season. I have no idea when it's supposed to come out. If I had to guess, I would say probably closer to like end of 2025 or 2026. Let's see here. X-Men 97, season 2 date. Date on that just yet, but excuse me. So we did have the D23 Expo event, which is like the big Disney event. So Marvel got their time to shine. And they just said, Kevin Feige just said that they're in deep development, so obviously we know we're getting season 2. We'll just have to wait and see. I'm looking at a site that says probably late 2025. That's what would be my guess too, or even 2026, honestly. So yeah, X-Men 97 was dope, man. Easily one of the best animated shows I've seen in a while, besides Invincible. I don't know though, I watched that the superhero, because I do think Blue Samurai was dope. That's one of the best ones I've seen. So if I had to rank the three animated series that I've watched in a while, in the last like year or so, I'd probably say Blue Samurai, X-Men 97, and then Invincible. But it's all very close. Like, I would even do 1A, 1B, 1C. You feel me? So, shout out to X-Men 97. They did their thing. Now, we'll keep it Marvel for a second, because what I was doing, I wasn't sure that I'd be able to go see Deadpool and Wolverine. I think we talked about that, because it's a little bit easier for me to take my kids to go see the other Marvel stuff that isn't rated R. That's like my excuse, because my kids are into it. My two oldest are into it as well, so that's my excuse. I'm like, hey, yo, hey, babe, what's going on? Hey, yeah, there's a new Marvel movie coming out. Can I take the boys to go see it? I mean, usually I can get a pass because I'm taking the kids, right? Well, I didn't even try with Deadpool Wolverine, because I'm obviously not taking them, and, you know, I didn't know when I was going to be able to see it. Well, then wifey comes to me and somebody at work was talking about it. And she was like, oh, I didn't realize that Deadpool and Wolverine was a new Marvel movie that was coming out. And she's like, I'd like to go see it. So I was like, word. Shoot, I looked up the tickets and I bought tickets that night. So we went and saw it, I think, like maybe a week after it came out. So before that, I was... We had been watching House of Dragon together, but we were kind of slow getting together to watch the episodes. So, like, we watched the first two, maybe, and then we went, like, 2 weeks without watching it, any more episodes. So, in between that, I was trying to find something to watch, because the Acolyte was over, which we'll get to that. So, I kind of decided to do a rewatch in the chronological order of the MCU, including TV shows, and eventually I made my way back, although I found the original, actually Disney Plus has it, where you can watch the MCU timeline order, but what they don't have is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at all in there, so it kind of threw me a loop. And they also don't like that it just says Daredevil, like when you get to the Daredevil part after I Am Groot and after Guardians of the Galaxy 2, It just says Daredevil. Like, it just has Daredevil. So if you don't know, you'll mess around and watch, you know, all the seasons of Daredevil, and it won't actually be the chronological order. So I found another website, and so I had already missed, like, what I was supposed to watch is season one of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I just said, nah, screw it. You know, I'll just forego those ones. But now I watched season one of Daredevil, and it takes you into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season two, like half of it. And then you're supposed to watch Jessica Jones season one and then come back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I've been really nerding it out with that and watching that. So yeah, it was actually kind of cool going back. Yeah, I still think that Daredevil is probably my favorite series. Honestly, it's my favorite Marvel entity so far going into, like, I've already, like I said, the last movie before Daredevil is Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So a lot has went on. You already had Winter Soldier, First Avengers, you know, all the solo movies pretty much. But man, something about that first season of Daredevil is just so on point, man. That story, introducing the Kingpin live action for the first time, and they did it so well. Which I, you know, part of the reason why I'm bringing up Daredevil is because obviously we got a new trailer for Daredevil officially joining the MCU. They brought back the Netflix Marvel shows, which, man, those are top tier. I was disappointed when they, you know, canceled them. I'd like to see them keep all the characters. I know a lot of people hated on the white Iron Fist, Danny Rand. But I honestly liked all of it, and I hope that they can bring the majority of the people back from all the Marvel shows. It does look like they're bringing back Punisher. He's going to be in the new Daredevil series. Obviously, they're bringing back Kingpin, and then they're going to introduce a whole bunch of other new characters, new Daredevil rivals. We got White Tiger that they showed in the trailer. So that's the benefit, man, of having everything back in house. Like I just said, with the X-Men 97, they really leaned into showing a lot of other Marvel characters in the Marvel universe fighting the same time as the X-Men, which we've, you know, really never gotten to see, because Fox had X-Men property for so long that we really haven't seen them be able to interact on screen. So this is, we're really starting to get into the real nerdy good stuff for us. We waited all this time since 2008, the first Iron Man came out. So man, it's I'm excited. With all that being said, brought us into what we're able to do now with Deadpool and Wolverine because of the merger. So without getting too spoiler into it, because it's still out there for people to see, I'll probably wait like another week or so, and then I will go more in depth with Deadpool and Wolverine, because I don't want to, like, you guys have heard me say this before, I really don't like to spoil too much, even in my spoilers. So I'll give it like another week or so, and then it will have been out for like over a month. So at that point, you know, hey, either skip ahead or you know, just endure, and that'll give you more reason to maybe go out to the movie theaters and see it before it you have to wait until it's out and streaming services are available to rent. But man, from the gate, man, they do a good job, man. They really lean into Deadpool's character of not taking himself serious and so unserious that he even jumps out of the comic book and interacts with the real world. So they really, dove and leaned into that, of course, like they have been, but even more so. I mean, the opening credits, you know, they always do this like James Bond theme, like music a little bit to the intro sometimes. And so they got him dancing to Backstreet Boy, doing a whole dance routine while he's murking people. He's murking cats from the... why am I tripping? From Loki. The time travelers, TVA. So Deadpool's over here like murking the TVA with the dead bones of of Wolverine, or Logan, really, from the Logan movie. He did find his body kind of sitting there, but everything had deteriorated, except for the bones. All the flesh deteriorated, so the bones were there, and he tried to like revive them and bring them back, but it didn't work. He thought that maybe his skin would start healing, but nah, son. So the TVA comes, because at the end of Deadpool 2, he gets a hold of Cable's time traveling wristband, and he goes back and like tries to undo a bunch of different stuff. So TVA is like, yeah, man, we got this special timeline, the sacred timeline. You ain't messing with that, my friend. So that's kind of the plot. Like, we're seeing a little bit of Loki crossover. They don't ever show Loki, but we are seeing a little bit of Loki crossover based on the different places that we already learned about from the TVA in regards to the Loki series. So that's definitely a good series to watch before you go see Deadpool and versus Wolverine. I'd recommend watching Loki season 1 and Deadpool 2 before you go see Deadpool versus Wolverine, if you haven't already. Those are definitely the two things you need to watch, and then you should be kind of caught up on what's going on. Yeah, man, like I said, I don't want to do too much spoilers just yet, but we do get to see Wolverine in his original comic book and animated series suit, the yellow suit, from the 90s. And he, which isn't too much of a spoiler, like pretty much all the advertising shows it, but they never show him with it over his face, the mask on. They just show him with the mask down. But man, when he puts that mask on, it's tight. yeah, son. Like, my full nerdism came out. My nerdism got excited, if you know what I'm saying. Keep it PG, but you feel me. I definitely was hype off of that, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, Deadpool vs. Wolverine is saved. People have been hating on MCU lately. Like, I finally watched Madam Web. It wasn't as garbage as everyone said it was, but it was doo-doo. It wasn't straight garbage trash, but it was doo-doo. The plot was doo-doo. But it was cool, like, seeing the Madam Web character be able to use her powers, and I'm interested to see if they're able to use her in future Spider-Man movies. So yeah, Deadpool vs. Wolverine really kind of brought it back for Marvel, so we'll see what happens. I don't know if we're getting another movie this year. Obviously we're getting Agatha All Along, which just personally I don't really have an interest in. There's too much witch stuff going on for me. I'm not into all that. But yeah, so we'll see what happens. I'm excited for Daredevil, which is supposed to be like early 2025, maybe March or something like that. So we'll see how that goes. Moving on to the Acolyte. Star Wars series came and gone. As quick as it was here, the season one, I think we got like 8 episodes. Or maybe even 6 episodes. And it really like examined, are the Jedi good or not? Which is always makes me laugh, because I think about this episode of For All Nerds. Remember I told you that's one of my inspirations to start doing the nerd black, being black and being okay to be, embrace your nerdism. So that's one of the early podcasts that influenced me. And way back when, there was an episode that they had, Tatiana King and DJ Benjamin had Guru, the famous engineer, recording engineer, who does a lot of work for Jay-Z. He's started out, he's Memphis Bleek's main engineer, and then Hove liked the way his work ethic, and liked the way he tweaks the sounds and really just makes everything clear and pure. And so he's Jay-Z's main recording engineer. So Guru touched the beat. You feel me? That Guru. So Guru was on there, young Guru, and he kind of went off on the fact that the Jedi are really the bad guys. They're out here snatching up kids, taking them away from their families and stuff, and Yoda's the head trafficking master, is basically what he said. And then after watching Acolyte, I was like, man, Guru was right. He really was right. Like, the Jedi is just twisted, man. They be doing some dark, dirty stuff, and in the name of, you know, freedom for the whole galaxy. But, you know, who watches the Watchers? You know what I'm saying? So Acolyte really, really shows that. Because this Jedi come in and just murk a whole witch's village and snatch up the kids and only take one of them. It's just wild. And then like keep doing dirt to try to cover up what they've been doing. So man, I really thought that Acolyte was good. Even now that it's only, so they spoil another spoiler on top of a spoiler, they canceled it. So we're only, that one season is all we're getting. That's all we got. So I would highly advise you to go watch it before it's not on there at some point in the next year or two. It's I think it might be, it's one of the better Star Wars episode series. Like, I would put it up there with like the first Mandalorian, I mean, honestly, I really have liked most of the Star Wars series other than Boba Fett. I mean, it was just okay. I could have done without that, honestly, I think. But everything else has been dope, you know what I mean? And this was up there. This was top tier. So we'll see what happens. I don't know if I've heard any word of a new Star Wars movie coming out anytime soon. But this Acolyte series was a good one, and I'm really disappointed that we're not going to get any more of it. So lastly in our nerd talk right here, finally, my wife and I finally finished season 2 of House of Dragon. And let me tell you, it was good. Very good, I thought. Except for the last episode. The last episode had me in my feelings because I think that they could have done a better job. Like, I felt like they it was very clear that that last episode nothing was going to happen, and that it was build up to the next season, which hopefully this next season just be all out, you know, whatever it's supposed to be, war or not war. But I was a little disappointed because I felt like they kind of forced this meeting of Allison and Rhaenyra. And I feel like my wife kept saying, like, she thought that, you know, Rhaenyra should kind of trust Allison. And I'm thinking, nah, like, if they wrote this into the story for this, like, meeting to happen between them to try to stop the war, like, I don't trust Allison because she's been so irrelevant this whole season. And I feel like this is a play for her to become relevant again. My wife feels like because she was so irrelevant, well, now she's kind of learned that she doesn't need that relevance and that she was just doing what other people told her to do. And now she's making her own decisions and she wants out of the game. She's trying to get out of the drug game, out of the dragon game, the throne game. And I'm like, nah, I think this is a power play. I feel like this is a power play because it's just, why would they write it in? Why wouldn't she just go off by herself and just be that? She was already up out of the castle, messing with my man's, the royal cloak. He was like, what are we doing out here? What you got me doing? You over here just staying in the tent. What are we doing out here? So it'll be interesting to see what happens next season. I think I'm going to try to do, if I can, I will try to fit in, like, maybe, don't hold me to it now. Like I said, I'm going to try. Y'all got to remember, I got 5 kids. And I'm out here, I don't think I've told y'all, but I'm out here doing stay-at-home dad life. I've been doing that for the last, like, year. So, it's busy, man. Like, I used to do service work in the trade field, and I'd be, you know, working 6 days a week, like anywhere from, like, I don't know, 10 to 14 hour days, sometimes not including the travel time. I definitely feel more mentally trained and feel like I mean, obviously when I was doing that, I had 2 less kids as well. So now I have 2 more kids, so there is more work, even if I wasn't a stay-at-home dad. Yeah, man, I try to find time when I find time. Like right now, like I recorded the first half of this episode like a week ago. I think at this point it was like a week ago, like last Tuesday. And now I'm recording this. And that was like nighttime. It was like 11 at night. It took me into midnight something. And then I went to bed. I'm like, I can't. I think when my youngest daughter woke up. So I had to take care of her. Like right now, it's the week before school starts. And we got one of these like morning thunderstorms going on, so it's like crazy dark outside. So my kids are sleeping in, which, hey, we've rocked for like a good 40 minutes here. So my middle son woke up and I set him up because he was still tired. He just wanted to fall back asleep to some cartoons. So he's chilling, watching some Mickey, and I'm here with y'all, trying to knock this out for us so we can get our back to school episode back to school. I'm gonna go back in because I'm gonna hook it. There's a song I gotta play for this, the back to school episode, because it just seems like it's gonna work out for me to put this out with for you guys the first week back to school. I'm gonna hook up with a song that I used to always listen to heading back to school. So I'm gonna try if I can, since I've been watching, like, doing this Marvel rewatch. Maybe I'll try to throw those in as like a Patreon episode and do like a 30-minute like dive in on each. We'll go episode by episode of the things that I'm watching at Marvel, you know. And then also, I would like to kind of overanalyze House of Dragon for y'all. Because there was a lot of things going on this season that I'd like to have a little bit more time to dive into. We're almost an hour and a half into this episode. So yeah, I don't think that I can just keep going. It's a little too much, for especially when it's you just hearing my voice. You know, eventually at some point, if I do get a co-host, we can, I got no problem giving y'all 3-hour episodes or whatever the case. So yeah, I hope y'all had a wonderful summer, a wonderful time off. Definitely appreciate y'all rocking with us again. We back. Yes. All right. So expect more to come, especially when, you know, our living situation gets a little bit more, you know, definite, and we're kind of grounded in a central place for the foreseeing future. Because I definitely have people that's trying to get on and be guests, which, you know, we really haven't done as for this first iteration of the MC Nerd Jock show. So I got people that's trying to, like, yeah, you know, I mean, people that's nominated for Grammys and winning music awards and stuff like that, working with some of our favorite artists. I got people like that that want to come on the show. I got some other podcast hosts, people that I'm rocking with, that's trying to come on the show. I'm trying to get people on the show. You feel me? Just got to get something. It's a little bit hard to do when you're sitting, you know, at your kitchen table recording. So you're definitely trying to get at least a space where I can, you know, have a little mini studio and do online episodes, or if it's somebody local, you know, I can bring my stuff to them or have them come to me, pause, you know, whatever. So definitely, you know, we work in this next, within this next year, this time again, you're definitely going to see an upgrade. You feel me? So, just keep rocking with us. The best is yet to come. You feel me? I'm gonna take y'all out with, one of my favorite songs off of my boy Valid's, latest album. This song is called Cigaretta off of, the Peach Brandy album. So, make sure y'all go cop that. And yeah, I will see y'all next time, baby. And we out.
Let's take it back. Couple generations ago. Well, before the socials and the cellular phones, I was just a little fella watching wrestling shows. When the elders got together, all I smell is the smoke. A big gray cloud above the dinner table. Turkish coffee in boxes with the different labels. It was Marlboro, Winston, Virginia Slim, right? And if you got that gossip, better fill them in, right? See, they didn't need a reason to meet and just gather. And these immigrants smoked like the meat on the platter. Oh yeah, my peoples puffed a lot of cigs. They got drunk, played cards, and talked politics. Some were for the king. Some were pro-American, some were democratic, while others were pseudo-communist Yugoslavians. Regardless who you riding with, this was the life every kid from the Balkan lived. The past, I don't claim what's better or worse. I'm at the cemetery, grab a cigarette for those who passed. I stick its head in the dirt, I like to tip and reminisce as I'm letting it burn. My baby, let it burn, let it burn. If you live through this era and watch the world turn. Nigga Gordy, nigga Gordy. This is my generation and our motherfucking story. What up? Sitting in my room, consumed, watching cartoons. My sister pushing the broom, bad mood, telling me to move. Mom's watching the evening news while cooking, watching the food. It's the 90s, I got an East Bay book, trying to find shoes. Cigarette smoke from my great uncles, they talking hella shit. Black and mild, Salem's and Newport, they inhaling it. While talking about how the president's irrelevant, how he don't represent a reflection of the section that we resting in. Take another pull as he's sitting on the stool. Ghetto philosophy. but saying we all gon' play the fool. While kickballing, 7-up is what we played in school. Like who done changed the rules, arguing about who done made us lose. It was simple times, we were simple minds, ready to grow up. Making beats on the lunch table, freestyling, ready to blow up. I remember living life free as a bird with no cares. My memory's so vivid, I still smell the smoke in the air, for real.
Check out, it's good.
Let it burn, let it burn. If you live through this era and watch the world turn.
Yeah.
Nigga Gordy, nigga Gordy. This my generation and our motherfucking story.
What up?
Yeah. Pardon me as I blow a smoke, reflecting on the times Granny would send us to the stove.
Yeah.
Winston light shorts and never them tops to roll. Keep them cold. Two RCs for her to pull.
Let's go.
Stumbled across a Lucy in the ashtray, grabbed it and concealed it with matches, then hit the back way. Grabbed it and sparked it without caution. Chest burning, eyes is watering, had me coughing. This shit is awful, but it look cool. If Granny catches puffing the square, then we cook, fool. Look, fool. Showing my cousin how to hold it. We ain't noticed. The window was open, she heard us choking. Floor shaking, I heard house shoes. When Granny was mad, she could walk and make the house move. She called us clean and saw the ashes. Smelled fingertips, then proceeded to kick asses.
This episode of the MC Nerdjock Show was brought to you by the United Negro Podcasting Guild of America, where we be podcasting. This episode was recorded at an undisclosed location in Grosse Pointe Woods, Michigan. Edited in an undisclosed studio in New Baltimore, Michigan. All episodes of the MC Nerdjock Show are brought to you by GC Productions. You already know. The intro and outro of the MC Nerdjock Show are produced by none other than the legendary producer, Slumber Logic. So what's